Second Chronicles this morning. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6 of Second Chronicles chapter 9. When you've found Second Chronicles 9, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Second Chronicles 9, 1 through 6. I will read the odd verses. 1, 3, 5, if you'll read with me on verses 2, 4, and 6, we'll read together. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, starting verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon heard all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his scent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, half the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, reading God's Word this morning, just want to say thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for a free country. We can come and we can just listen to your Word preached. Lord, I pray you be with our preacher this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you be upon the message. Lord, I pray that allow no distractions. Lord, I pray we just focus in on what God has for the man of God this morning. Well, thank you for it. Be the singing as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Angels come to take me home up there. cue, folks. That was a good song and a sobering question. Good thing to think about. Brother Payne, are y'all hearing me okay out there this morning? If you're good, then I need something up here, Brother Greg, because we're not hearing much on the platform, and I'll need that help this morning as I speak. Look down at verse number 6 in our text we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago. The Queen of Sheba is responding to Solomon here in verse number 6. About halfway through the verse, she says, "Behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me." So I want to speak this morning on the subject, only half true. Only half true. And we'll pray now and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. This is your word. You promised to bless it. I want to preach it in sincerity and in truth. I want, dear Lord, you to help me. Because in my own power and the power of my flesh, I can be a help and a blessing to no person. But I know that through the Spirit that lives in me and the Spirit that's corporately gathered with us this morning, that you can speak to every heart. It's amazing how you do that. You promised that your word would not return void. So I pray, God, that you'll honor it today. Give it power. May it speak to the quick of our heart and encourage us. And we'll thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And amen. The cell phone rang with the sound that identifies a text message about 9:20 on Thursday p.m. I was in the other room from my cell phone. I was working on final exams for my college classes when I heard the thing go off. I think it was in the kitchen. And I knew in my heart what it was. I had been in contact with Brother Caleb earlier. In fact, on the way home from Elgin Thursday, I had talked to Brother Matt Hudson and Brother Bob Ross personally and had received the latest updates on Catherine's conditions and prayed with Matt. They both wept on the phone. And then Brother Caleb had called sometime late afternoon and told me that the doctors had pronounced Catherine clinically dead, brain dead. And then at 9 o'clock Thursday night, she took her last breath. When I got to the phone, it was about 9:40, 9:45, and I clicked on the phone, and here's what the message said. Catherine is with Jesus. That's all it said. Catherine is with Jesus. And conflicting emotions came over me when I read that. I was hit with incredible sadness. She was only 40 years of age. Her good husband, faithful missionary man, wonderful family. I wish you could meet Brother Hudson's parents. I thought about that church over in the Ukraine. I thought about their house in Ukraine. And how that now Brother Matt has got to attend to all these things here in the States related to his wife's passing. And then he's got to get on a plane eventually. And go back to Ukraine and be reminded of her all over again. Because the majority of her things are in Ukraine. And he'll have to deal with that over there. So my heart was sad for him. My heart was sad for her son. Daniel, teenage young man, fine boy. My heart was sad for her two daughters, Rachel and Deborah. Those three children will not have mom in this life to share in so many precious and monumental moments. Their weddings and graduations and so forth. I felt for her parents, the Rosses. I felt for his parents, the Hudsons. I felt for her siblings, for Emily. So when I thought of all those that were left behind, I had great sorrow in my heart. And then I thought about her. I thought about Catherine. And I experienced incredible awe that came over me as I looked at those words again. Catherine is with Jesus. Because that's what death is for a child of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I thought about her and I thought to myself, what must it have been like when she entered that land? Was she there before she was gone from here? Now, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'd speculate that she probably at some point was there before she left here. And I thought about what Catherine must have enjoyed. I thought about the condition that she had been in for the last several days. And by the way, if our calculations are right, my wife and I were talking, we're thinking maybe 8.5 weeks from the time that they said she has cancer to the time that she passed away. That's fast. And her condition had so deteriorated, we thought last week and maybe it was a little bit better. Then it really turned south this past week. I thought about the condition she'd been in those days in that hospital. And then I thought about the condition she was in when I looked at that text that said, Catherine is with Jesus. And I thought to myself, my, my, what a change. What a change. And I had incredible sorrow for those left behind, but I had incredible blessedness in my heart for Catherine. What is it like when those who are saved leave this world and go to heaven? Well, the Bible gives us many wonderful descriptions of heaven, its beauty, its inhabitants, its characteristics. But here in 2 Chronicles, there are a couple lessons to be learned that are very helpful. You say, well, I don't see heaven anywhere in this story. Well, the story of the Queen of Sheba coming to visit the kingdom of Israel when Solomon was the king is a type of God's people going to heaven. Now, here's what I mean by that. Listen carefully. It's a type. It's a picture. It's symbolic. All throughout the Old Testament, you will find types. There are many Old Testament stories that are types or symbolic of truths found in more detail in the New Testament. We read a lot about heaven in the New Testament and learn a lot about its characteristics and so forth. But here we have a type of heaven. I'm thinking about Joseph in the Old Testament. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. I think about the Passover lamb and the blood on the doorpost and the door above the door. Brother Joe, would you help these folks, please? Folks, we have a good place for her to sit with the baby if she needs to. That way we can concentrate. And I'm glad you're here. But he'll help you, this guy right here. And he can find that place for you. And we even have a good staff nursery back there that'll help that child. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Amen. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But I want the people around you to be able to hear as well. Passover lamb. The blood on the doorpost is a typical of salvation. I think about the brass serpent on the brass pole in the wilderness. That was a type of Christ's crucifixion. In fact, Jesus even mentioned that event in John chapter 3 when he said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus gave credibility to Old Testament types. When I worked for Brother Brown, there was a GARB church out in the country. Actually, when Tim Booth comes to preach here, he has relatives that grew up in Washington, Iowa, and that church used to be called the Booth Church. His relatives pastored and worked at that church. But the guy became a General Association of Regular Baptists, and the guy that was there, he stood up in front of his people one day and he said, you can't preach types out of the Old Testament. That's unbiblical to preach types out of the Old Testament. Well, I'm sorry, friend, but when you got Jesus Christ giving credibility to a type in the Old Testament, I think it's probably right to preach types in your Bible. And so you got all kinds of types. Now, one thing important to remember about Old Testament types. This is a little bit of a lesson on studying your Bible, okay? Old Testament types are never a complete or perfect picture. They are at best only partial. Only partial. But there is enough in these partial pictures for us to learn some wonderful and helpful lessons. And there's enough about heaven in this passage to help us learn some lessons about that place that we called heaven. Now, let me give you the scene of what's going on here in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Solomon followed David as the king of Israel. During his reign, Israel reached the pinnacle of its golden years. Unbelievable wealth, prosperity, beauty, and splendor. It was the epicenter of the entire world. The fame of the kingdom of Israel had reached throughout the known world when Solomon was the king. Not when David was the king. When Solomon was the king. Now Sheba. Sheba was a part of Ethiopia. And the queen of Sheba, that part of Ethiopia, she heard, like everybody else did, of all the wonders of Israel. And she decided that she was going to go check it out for herself. And so she got a great big host of people and made that long journey and went to check out the kingdom of Israel. Now listen carefully. Solomon is a type of Jesus sitting on the throne as the supreme ruler in the land. Israel is a type of heaven, a place of beauty and wonder and splendor. The queen is a type of you and me, saved people who someday will go to heaven as Catherine did this past Thursday night to be with Jesus. And I want to point out two things this morning, two and a third. My last point is very, very brief. It is the very end of the message, and to me, it's the best point. But I know what's coming. Now, you're going to have to stay on the edge of your seat. Amen? All right? So let me tell you some things that I think are typical about heaven in this passage. Look at what you look at, number one. What the queen had heard was only a fraction. Isn't one half? Isn't that a fraction? Okay. She told Solomon, the half of the greatness is all I've been told. So what the queen had heard was only a fraction of what she saw. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and she said to the king, it was a true report, which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, that one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. She said, King, not a half of what I've been told about this place is like it really is. This is absolutely unbelievable. Verses 3 and 4 tell us what she saw. I won't reread those verses. We read them with Brother Bragg just a moment ago. But friend, if you'd like to put a note around verses 3 and 4 and a little note out in the side of your Bible, you know what happened when she hit that? She had heard about that city. She had heard about the kingdom of Israel. But when she got there, now get this, when she got there, she was surrounded, she was engulfed by the reality of what she was experiencing, and all five of her senses kicked in. I mean, what she saw, what she heard, what she could touch almost with her fingertips, what she felt, what she smelt, all five of her senses began to experience the reality of the kingdom of Israel, the servants and the peacocks and the ivory and the apes and the gold and the silver and the marble and the splendor. She was engulfed by it. And you know how she reacted? That's what she did. Her jaw dropped. And if you can say, dropped down to her knees. Man, her jaw dropped wide open. And she walked around, if you can let me illustrate this morning, she walked around the kingdom like this. And she was marveled. And it was just, she couldn't believe it. She'd heard a lot about it, but only half of what she'd heard was true. Half of it she'd never been told. And she was absolutely awestruck with the beauty and the splendor and the wonder of that kingdom. What she'd heard was only half true. You know, I've told you this before, but I had seen pictures of and I had heard of the beauty of the Rocky Mountains. Oh, good night. All since my boyhood. But I'd never been there. Until the year that Brother Woodward and I went with the juniors and seniors to visit Jim Rowe, who was a missionary in Edmonton, Leduc, Canada, back in those days. And we took the juniors and seniors from the school over there when our kids were over there. And we made our way up through British Columbia, Canada, through the Canadian Rockies. And I want to tell you something, friend. We wound up those little roads winding up and winding up. If you ever get an opportunity to do something, if you ever win the lottery, okay, excuse me, you know you're not going to do that, all right? But anyway, if you ever get enough money and you can go visit Lake Louise in Banff, I think I'm saying that right, or Jasper, British Columbia, honestly, we rode those little roads up and up and up and up and up. And I'm going to tell you, friend, listen carefully. The devil must not want us to hear what I'm going to say today. Listen carefully. Look this way. I'm telling you, it was like this. I was like this. I couldn't believe it. You talk about beauty? Knocked my socks off. Unbelievable. I had heard and seen pictures. I had heard and seen pictures and heard of the Alps. I thought they were beautiful. What I saw, until I went there with Joyce to visit Ben and Ashley when Brindley was born in August, whatever year that was, 3 years ago. And Albertville, the language school, was in the French Alps. And how far are we from Italy, Ben? Oh, about a 45-hour drive, 45-minute through the Alps. I'm not going to be here again. Let's go. And we drove through those Alps, and climb those little roads. And I'm talking about places where you could barely pass with a car. The roads were so narrow, up and up and come around the side. And here's this pristine lake home. It was beautiful. All jaw-dropping. I've heard of a land on the faraway strand. 'Tis the beautiful home of the soul. I will guarantee you something, friend. What we've heard about it is not even half of what we're going to experience when we get there. You talk about jaw-dropping. Friend, I'm talking about jaw-dropping. What have we heard about heaven? Well, streets of gold, walls of jasper and gates of pearl and river of life and throne of God and Jesus at the right hand and the Holy Ghost surrounding it and trees and saints and singing and rejoicing every time a sinner is born to the family of God. If what we have heard and read about heaven is incredible, what will our arrival in that place cause us to do? I wonder if we won't walk around like the queen with our mouth wide open with the awe of it. And the beauty of it. I mentioned before that the Apostle Paul, he was taken outside the city of Lystra and he was stoned to death. You remember that story? And the Bible says he was left for dead. Left for dead out there. But he wasn't dead. But he did have one of those out-of-body experiences and he wrote about it. Was it 14 years after the fact? He wrote about it and he said, I knew a man, talking about himself, who was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And when he got caught up to heaven, he wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he was caught up into paradise and he heard unspeakable words. This phrase floors me. Not lawful for man to utter. And I pointed out before that usually we have to make laws to keep people from saying things that are bad. Right? But Paul said what that man saw himself, referring to himself, what that man saw, it would be criminal for me to write to you and tell you what I actually saw in that place. It would not be lawful for me to talk about it. Think about it, friend. The things that we've read about heaven in this book is only a fraction of what it's going to be like when we get there. Jaw-dropping. Jaw-dropping. As beautiful as Jasper and Lake Louise and the Rocky Mountains and the Swiss Alps and French Alps and whatever you think is beautiful as something may be on this planet, do you understand? It's cursed. What must this wonderful land be like? That Paul said, it would be criminal for me to talk about what I saw up there. You know, I really ponder, and again, I'm over now into the arena of speculation, but I really wonder if God had allowed Paul to write about it, I wonder if we could even handle it. I wonder if it'd be so unbelievable that it would be like, I don't believe that. I was just wondering, that's speculation. But Paul said, I cannot talk about what I saw up there. And when the queen arrived, it was everything she had been told about and much, 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 much more. Now, how about this? How about the flip side of this thing? Have you ever read or heard about a place and you thought, man, I want to go there? And then when you got there, you were disappointed. I've been to a few places like this. You're driving down the road on vacation. See this. See this. Don't miss this. See this. And you know, and then you fall for it. And you get off the path and you lose time and you go there and there's something hokey thing. Some goofy, hokey thing. You think to yourself, good grief. They went to all the trouble to put signs on the road to tell you to come see this. It wasn't even worth my time driving over here. You leave disappointed. And what did I do that for? I got off the track to come. Let's see, how does the song go? There's no disappointment in heaven. No weariness, sorrow, or pain. You know what would disappoint you, disappoint me, if we got to heaven and saw Riverside Hospital? Would that disappoint you? It'd disappoint me. They tried to teach us how to make hospital visits when I was in Bible college, and they did a good job, but you can't make a hospital. You don't really know until you get there in the room with people. and loved ones are dying or serious in accident or had some physical problem. I'll be honest with you. I do it. I was at the hospital yesterday. I do it. I don't mind doing it. I try to bring a comfort to people. But if my soul, friend, if I walked through heaven's gates and saw Riverside Hospital, I'd be disappointed. If I heard, I'd say, where am I? If I saw a Walgreens, if I saw a Walmart, I'd be disappointed. I'm talking about if you drove down the road, you walked down the streets of heaven, saw a big complex and said medical facility, wouldn't you be disappointed? If you heard the clank, clank of a crutch, if you saw the tap, tap, heard the tap, tap, tap of a blind man's cane, if you saw a cat, would you be disappointed? I know there's no cats in heaven because there's no disappointment in heaven. I am being facetious. But I'm not being facetious when I say this. There's no disappointment up there. See, everything we've heard of that place is only half of what's really there. So when we get there, number two, boy, I love this. What the queen could not understand was quickly answered. What the queen could not understand was quickly answered. Look at verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions. The very great company. Look at the end of the verse. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. When she got there, everything that she could not understand was answered. Some things about her life, maybe, or about something else in life, she could not comprehend. And when she got there, she got the answers. Now, wait a minute. Again, remember what I said about types. This is not a perfect picture. She came to prove Solomon with hard questions. I don't think you and I are going to trounce into heaven, march up to the throne room of God, put our finger up, and say, I want you to explain something to me. I don't think we're doing that. If you got that kind of attitude going on, you can forget it. First of all, how are you going to point your finger when you're like this? I don't believe when we get to heaven, we're going to demand answers from God. Now you tell me, we'll be overwhelmed by His glory. And the glory of heaven so much, now watch it, that the things that stuck in us here and made us uncomfortable will be forgotten. But I do believe that when we get there, everything will be understood. And the things that we could not comprehend here will all be understood because we will see it from a brand new vantage point. Many of you heard Jack Howes preach. And I've told this story. Many of you have heard him tell this story. Now that when he was a little boy and his daddy was the town drunkard, when God called him to preach, his daddy kicked him in the street of Dallas, Texas. He's a little boy. Daddy was a town drunkard. Never home. Had a terrible, dysfunctional home. He said his mother used to sit in a rocking chair. And I always forget what that's called. With the hoop. Embroider. And all those colors of threads, you know. She used to sit with that hoop. And he'd be playing on the floor. And he would look up from the floor when his mother was working on that thing. And you ever looked at one of those things from the bottom side? It's kind of like, what in the world? That's what he would say to her. He'd say, Mama, you're making a mess. She said, no, it's not a mess. One of these days you'll see. Day after day she would work on that little thing. And finally the day came when he's on the floor playing as a little boy. And she said, son, come here. I want to show you something. Sit up on my lap. And she picked Jack up, little Jack up, and put him on her knee. And he looked down on that hoop, and there was a beautiful valley, mountain, stream, and sunset. She said, this is what I was making all the time. You were just looking at it from the wrong side. We're not going to march into heaven, walk up to God's throne. Oh, you tell me something. But when we get to heaven, along with this, we're going to do this. And we're going to see it from God's vantage point. We're going to understand. Hey, we'll get on a plane Tuesday afternoon, go to Dallas, Texas, and walk into a church on Wednesday morning. I'm not going there to explain Catherine Hudson's death. How do you do that? Well, now here's what you need to understand. Understand. He understands that his wife is gone. They understand that their mother is gone. A dad understands, a dad and mom understand that their daughter is gone. And that's not normal. That's not natural. I'm not going there to. Well, now this is what you need to understand. They're not going to understand it, friend, until their time comes to go up to where they are, where she is. And they'll look down from God's vantage point, and all that was not understood here on this earth will be understood then. Understood then. Hey, is there something sticking in your craw right now? And you're looking up at God and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know what you're doing, but this is a mess. You're looking at it from the wrong side, friend. Joseph was left in prison for 2 years. Now let that sink in. Forgotten and left in the prison for 2 years. I don't know about you, but that looks like a mess to me. What is this? I did nothing wrong. Nothing. Trying to follow your will, God. What is left for 2 full years? But God was embroidering. Or whatever it's called. Did I use the right word? Crochet, whatever. God was, He was drawing a picture. And it wasn't just Joseph. It was the whole nation of Egypt, and it was the whole nation of Israel. It was Joseph's daddy. It was Joseph's brothers. It was the promised seed that would come through his brother Judah. It was all of it. And God was making this fantastic picture. And of course, when Joseph looked up from prison, it looked like a mess until he got to heaven. He looked down on the whole panoramic view like God looks at it. He said, well, I see it now. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. What has happened in this life that your heart cannot grasp? Don't turn bitter, friend. Let that drive you to a deeper level of trust in your God, realizing that, you know, my God is at work. And I may not always enjoy what thread color He's using. I may not always enjoy how it looks from the bottom side up, but one of these days, I'm going to see it like He sees it. I'm going to understand it. If someone dies without Christ, the Bible tells us that they go to hell in the same condition that they were in here on earth. Right? So that means the drunkard that dies without Christ goes to hell and craves a drink for all of eternity. The dope addict who dies without Christ goes to hell and craves a fix throughout all eternity. And on and on and on you can go with different scenarios. The person who's mad at God and doesn't understand and rejects Christ. I'm praying for a man right now in this town whose wife has been saved. He just can't come to grips with some things that he doesn't understand. And he knows he needs to be saved. But he just can't get past some things that happened. Friend, if you harbor that in your heart and you let it turn you against God with this uncomfortable gnawing about why you die without Christ, then all through eternity, why? You imagine that? That's why I preached last week, man. Don't let these things that happen here keep you from trusting in a loving God. So when she got there, she understood that what she had heard was only half, a fraction of what the place was really like. And when she got there, all of her misunderstandings were understood. Now let me give you the last one. There is one major difference about the queen going to visit Solomon and you and me going to heaven. And that's all the way down in verse number 12. Look at it. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought to the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. She went home. We will be home. As hard as it is for that man down there with the mat and those three children, and both sets of those parents, both living, and all those siblings, as hard as it is on them, Catherine went home. Catherine is with Jesus. Aren't you glad that you know when you breathe your last breath here, you'll be with Jesus? And when you get there, only a half of what we've been told, anything that you misunderstood will be answered. And you won't have to go home. You'll be home. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that wonderful land called heaven. God, it's been on our minds this week. We think about that dear servant leaving this life early, what we would call early. Thankful for a place that's so wonderful, like heaven. Help us to be ready for that land. Help us, dear Lord, to keep our hearts in good relationship with you. Reach down this morning and speak to some soul here today. I pray it in Jesus' name.